Spring into deals at Lowe's. Shop select 1.5-gallon annuals hanging baskets, 2 for $15, for the perfect addition to Mom's garden. Plus, get 3 free bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil when you buy 3. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/6, excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
Let's go to another topic, another fine group of folks. Oh, I went for a Sunday drive yesterday, everybody. I was down in the area of town where I've never seen the compound, the Duggar compound. I've just seen it on TV. And I thought, you know, I'm only like 5 minutes away, according to GPS. I'm going to go for a Sunday drive. So I did. And I texted Robin and Todd.
This is what we do on weekends. We can't get away from this.
Yeah, I am like, I just want to see what it looks like. So I had my camera rolling as I drove by the Duggar compound. And there in the driveway is Michelle in her Lexus, her big white Lexus, you know, that pious, you know, ministers or preachers' wives drive big white Lexuses. And I waved, hi. And I just kept driving. Yeah.
See that? Go ahead.
I just waved and, you know, and I kept going. I'm like, okay, well, I've seen it now. That's great. I mean, it's interesting. It's a big, sprawling compound it seems a lot of vehicles and a lot of people that are in the fold there. Of course, the Duggars are who we are talking about. One arrest has set off a chain reaction that has not stopped. Joseph Duggar, obviously, he's facing felony charges in Florida. He and his wife face separate charges in Arkansas. Officials in Arkansas have declined to release court records to the public yet, citing, and this is interesting, an active and ongoing investigation, something that didn't happen when another Duggar family member was cited for child endangerment in a prior case. CPS has reportedly conducted follow-up visits to residences connected to the broader Duggar family, allegedly, and sources allege that families inside the orbit are beginning to cooperate with investigators after years of silence. What started as one case involving one man and one victim is widening, and the question is now how far the investigation reaches beyond the people who've already been charged. So let's start here. If investigators were to find evidence that someone in a position of authority inside a family system that has spent years advising other families to handle allegations involving their children internally, confession, repentance, labor, and above all, keep police out. And that pattern could be documented across multiple households. What would the FBI call that? And how would they go about building a case around it? Because if some of these allegations that are floating around the internets are true, you do have some interstate stuff going on here. You have certain people advising other people within this orbit of faith, and I put that in air quotes, of not going to authorities when criminal allegations are being made or criminal confessions in some cases are being made by their own members, allegedly, of crimes against children. And the idea, the faith idea within the community is, well, let's just keep this quiet. Let's just deal with it internally. It's between you and me and our umbrella and God. Let's keep the police out of it. This seems like it could turn into quite a big deal that could expose quite a few people. Is that where this is going?
I think it's very possible because when you look at all of this, you pointed out the key facts, and this could be a conspiracy case, a conspiracy yeah. trafficking case. Just think if they find anything to do with pornographic images. That's really where the huckleberry is on a case like this. And when I say that, a very punishable case, a very easy to make case, you don't even have to put together that conspiracy. You don't have to do a sex trafficking, elements of a sex trafficking. And typically when people are involved in this activity, they love to take videos and photos.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be so tough because
So Jim Bob is so adept at this master control. It's very hard to imagine him, because everything goes through him. All the cell phone bills go through him. You're right to have a smartphone versus a flip phone. All these things go through Jim Bob. And when he, and with the whole doctrine of this umbrella, and starting with everything in order to have restitution, you know, by confessing immediately of your moral failings. I mean, this is the language they use to diminish the sexual abuse, the S abuse, I'm sorry for YouTube, the S abuse that's going on against these children. It all gets filtered through him, and he knows, you know, he's scrubbing that stuff before.
Yeah, and I'm not, we're not accusing him of anything, and he's not criminal or anything like that, allegedly.
I'm just saying what could happen.
But based on the teachings, based on how we understand how they handle everything under their umbrella, from the public information that's out there, we have documented history of them handling things under that umbrella, and more reporting that's coming out there from some other sources. Without a crystal ball, Katie Joy is doing some great work on that.
Yeah, following them, and also Amy Duggar King's amazing book, just finished that as well, combined with Jill Duggar's work. I mean, there's a lot of really good insights about how not just the IBLP, but also the Duggar household is being run or organized.
It seems that there is a lot that is there that that is being looked at. Again, not saying any of it is necessarily criminal or I don't know, but that's for the authorities to figure out. But when you're running that lever of control or that is the structure of the organization of control of other people, other members, other families, other fathers within the IBLP, the elders, if you will, if the elders are having conversations amongst themselves and they're working out their problems and their issues, and some, let's just theoretically say, some are saying, I've done this, or my son has done this, or I know this has happened. How do we deal with it? And the idea and the outcome and the elder's choice within that organization, within that sect, is to say, we're only handling this on the inside. We're not going to go to police, even though these are criminal acts. Is that a conspiracy?
Well, certainly, anytime you have two overt acts in two overt or two agreements, you have a conspiracy, potentially, as long as it's to commit criminal conduct. So the elements are actually not difficult to achieve. It's the question is it there in the form that we can grab it? In other words, a conversation, a text message, some form of that communication.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so here's a follow-up to that, Jen, and one of our viewers just said the same thing. They don't use the word S abuse. They always use this softer language of moral failings. Would law enforcement be able to take and retranslate that? Because, you know, the statutes say one, you know, the harsh reality of what it is, but the Duggars or people in IBLP don't use that same vernacular. Would they be able to then use a softer vernacular used by the IBLP and use that as justification for subpoenas and everything else? Or would it actually need to be more specific?
No, absolutely they can. Consider, for instance, in drug cases, a lot of times they say, you know, the wedding.
Great example.
Like that, which when you see the wedding, that means particularly a narcotic transaction. Or you see, hey, did you pick up the tomatoes? Whatever it might be. Well, tomatoes, when you see it three or four different times, equate to crack cocaine, you know that it's crack cocaine. So all you have to do is make, you just need a paragraph in your warrant to show that correlation.
Yeah, and that's what we do, same thing on the CI side. We actually have to define what each thing means so that actually when we submit things, it actually gives clarity to the court. Great example. Very good one. Thank you.
How do you get in here and crack this nut? I mean, there's obviously it's very closed off. It's very secretive. There's certain people who have certainly escaped and they tell their story. But I would tend to guess that as the water is continuing to rise here in the Duggar Titanic, that there might be folks going, maybe it's time for lifeboats. Or let's hope we're not going to stand there and wait till the bow of the ship is upright. And then you're going to be, you know, hoping for the I'll never let go Jack moment. You might want to get out on the lifeboat while it's available to you. What would you say to someone in that orbit who wants to get out, who needs to get out, but is afraid to get out? They don't necessarily know. They don't necessarily understand the protections that they may have and the levers to pull, because sometimes they don't even have the language to describe some of these things. What would you say, and I'll start with Jen first, to inspire someone on the inside who has information about these people and about horrible behavior, if it exists? I'm not saying it does. I'm not accusing anybody, but if it exists, what would you say to them? What should they do? How can they go about this? Because their levers of going to the people that are closest to them and saying it goes nowhere. It just gets shut down and stays insular. What would you say to them to do the right thing, to do the godly thing in their mind, if you will, that will protect not only themselves, but more importantly, the gazillions of children that they can't stop having?
Well, I tell you what, these are the nuts that you can't crack unless they come to you. And I'm not saying they're nutty. I'm using a nut as the analogy, meaning you cannot go to people that are so brainwashed like this and that have all these close familial ties and expect that they're going to just see the light from some FBI agent that talks to them. Typically how these are broken, though, is you have that person reach out. That person who has just seen something so horrific they can't go on with it. A mother or one of the kids that just can't take it any longer, like we're seeing. That's what you're hoping for. So mm-hmm. I would say there's nothing that an agent or an officer or anybody could say that's going to bring them out of that. They have to have the initial thought. At least that's been my experience.
Yeah, you know, you handle these, to Jen's point, you're not going to be able to do a frontal assault here because their shields are so insulated, they're so thick, they're so deep. I mean, they've got a lot of reps in keeping their society closed, right? And so what you have here is a recruitment operation. And when you're doing a recruitment operation, first thing you're doing is you're identifying an individual who might be a little different. They're not just in their personality, but they have a different tempo of life. They're putting themselves and making themselves available for some human interaction outside that circle. Maybe they're the ones that do the grocery shopping, or when they do grocery shopping in a big group, maybe this one goes off on their own and you see this a little more routinely. And when you see a potential for an interaction, the first thing you don't do is confront, because next you actually have to establish trust. You have to not invalidate their thoughts and opinions. You have to validate them by being curious, by mirroring, by matching, and you start developing a rapport of trust over time. You don't push the tempo. You make it on their tempo. You allow them to feel inspired to want to approach, confide. You know, so what was, when we're covering the FLDS, I know it's not about today, but Catherine, who was the documentarian that covered them, she did exactly this. When she penetrated the FLDS, she gained trust. And over a couple years, mm-hmm. she finally got someone to make themselves available by coming to her front lawn and just raking leaves with her young son. And that she saw as an opportunity for a conversation. You just be patient and you allow them to come to you by making yourself this lighthouse of safety where there was no fear, where there's no judgment, and they felt empowered to just have a little bit of leakage. So they're going to test what's going to happen if I'm going to leak a little bit. Will the world collapse? Will I be outside the umbrella? No, I can leak a little bit more. So that's how these things work in real life.
To inspire this, I mean, because to get inside of this insular system, I mean, that's nearly impossible. I mean, is it? I mean, maybe somebody could do it. I don't know. But it would take quite an operation, quite a dedication of someone giving up their life for quite a while to do that. But there are some levers here. There are children of the Duggars who have escaped. They watch our show. They've commented on some of our stuff. I'm wondering, and I don't know if this is a path that is ever taken within the FBI or anything of that nature, of working with folks like that as the levers that already exist. Maybe, I mean, they're probably not super high on the trust level with someone like Kendra Duggar, who is so enmeshed into the system, who has the husband that has these allegations against him, who's being love bombed by the Duggars right now, who's going out on ATV rides and singing church songs really loud and feeling great. Things like that. Is there ever a lever that can be pulled there by working with folks like that, people who have been close, to help? I don't want to say lure, because that almost sounds bad, but to help inspire, to help let them know, help them see there is a safe side out here, and to provide the platform for them to essentially walk out of the airplane door and know that they're going to land safely. Because that would be like what Kendra would be doing. If she were to walk away from all this, she'd be losing her housing. She'd be losing her legal protection that's being arranged by the Duggars. She would lose everything, all semblance, everything. And probably in her mind, she'd fear that she's going to be damned to hell and burn eternally forever. So her eternal salvation in her mind would be being thrown away. Is there anything the FBI could do by working with escapees of this family to help inspire others to escape so they can live a better life? And more importantly, those grandchildren, those kids that keep being born into this, have a chance at a healthy life, not influenced by this way of thinking.
Well, I would 100% say this is the number one avenue. Because as you mentioned, there were already emotional bonds that were made. And just because they leave, it doesn't mean that some of those bonds don't exist. The other mm-hmm. thing is they are a huge intelligence gathering spot. They know everything inside and out. And so that can often lead to information that can lead to crevices, mm-hmm. crevices to get in. So that's, to me, if I'm the case agent, that's my number one approach. I'm going to debrief until I understand how everything works day in and day out. And then secondarily, I'm going to see if there's any bridge that can be made between that person and somebody still on the inside.
Yeah, the biggest challenge they're going to have here is bandwidth. You know, I can't tell you the number of days I had great opportunities to recruit certain individuals that were not good actors, that were acting against the United States interests. But my boss, after I brought these great opportunities to him, he'd say, "Hey, so we work in Russians today?" Because that was my primary goal and objective. And so you always got to look at bandwidth. You have to look at known violations, because just because you think it's righteous doesn't mean that the people above you think it's the flavor of the day. So that's part of the challenge. The other part, though, I think is a really great example. When you don't have direct access, the things you're looking for is secondary access. You're looking for sources. And one of our commentators here said, why not, you know, why didn't camera people that filmed for TLC for years say something, anything? So I wouldn't use them as, hey, why didn't you? I'd say, hey, do you want to? Because now, because what you're looking for is you're looking for people that already have, and to your point earlier, Tony, already have established trust, already have established relations. And how can we provide some leakage? How can we plant seeds? Because, you know, when you're inspiring someone to take action, you don't get people to take an action by telling them what they should do. You do it by asking them questions about what it is they are doing. You plant those seeds by asking questions, leading questions that can get their minds thinking. Remember, the biggest challenge these kids have of saving themselves is they don't interrogate information. They're not curious. They're living within a very small tube of experience, and they're not used to questioning anything outside that umbrella. So if you can plant a little bit here to get them to question this, you know, it's like, hey, just ask, you know, so why is it this? And now, granted, they have an answer for everything. Their doctrine does. That's why it's going to take a little bit finding that right person that just doesn't quite fit the mold. It's a little bit more skeptical, you know, just like Amy in her book talks about that. Things were good until things just didn't make sense to her because she was far enough removed, but close enough to kind of be a little more discerning.
I want to ask this just from the optics of what we're seeing so far. What do you guys think is going on behind the scenes here on a local level with authorities and also on a federal level with the FBI? Allegations have come out that other children of the Duggars, adult children of the Duggars who are parents now and have their own kids, have had CPS visit their homes. That's the allegations that we're seeing coming out. That I find interesting because these are independent families that are not, you know, they're not in the same house of Kendra and Joseph. These are other people. To randomly have CPS show up right after all this happens, that seems a little interesting. Is there a greater, and they have said ongoing investigation and in the background, I guess how deep and how ongoing do you think this is in terms of local authorities and federal authorities investigating the dealings of this family and possible further abuse?
Well, first of all, there's never anything random with something like that. It's so closely associated in time and facts that they're looking for. So I would say they're going to keep digging. They've got to start, obviously, in close connection with the local authorities. But I tell you, I'd be worried for everything I did, because I think likely there have already been a lot of subpoenas and possibly warrants served behind the scenes that we don't even know about. Mm-hmm. So I think it's such an interesting case. And as Robin made a great point, it does depend on what the Bureau is prioritizing right now. And yeah, right now, because of the war, the priority of manpower is going to be on international and domestic terrorism issues. For mm-hmm. sure. And then underneath that, though, sex trafficking has been one of the higher priorities of this administration.
Right. I wholeheartedly agree, Jen. You know, anytime a conflict in the world broke out, everyone in the Bureau, especially on the counterintelligence side, you have to interview and develop sources all across the country. So it's every time a big crime happens, you always hear it. It's all hands on deck right now with what's going on politically, geopolitically. You know, it's all hands on deck, focus on that. But to Jen's great point, S trafficking is always a very high priority when dealing with children involved. So like her point, I guarantee there's a lot of work going on behind scenes. It's hard not to imagine a lot of really, really nervous people amongst the brethren right now.
Yeah. I mean, are they really at a kind of a fork in the road point here in their life decision-making process point of you can go one of two ways here. If you have knowledge, and I'm not saying necessarily someone who has done these things to other people, but someone who has knowledge of people covering up abuse, covering up things, and just the way that the system seems to operate. If you have the knowledge and you don't come forward and you don't say anything and you play stupid, there's a path here or there's a path here. What do both of those paths look like? Should someone not choose to do the right thing, not choose to do the thing, even though they're being told within that that's wicked, that's witchcraft, that's evil, that's the enemy coming in. You don't say these things. You don't expose these things because these are bad people that are coming in and pointing out these things to us. What options do they have at this point? I mean, what does the future look like for someone who has that sort of knowledge that either A, chooses to come forward and get it out versus sitting there and waiting for the bell to toll and, you know, wherever this goes, maybe, you know, a bunch of federal agents showing up one day with weapons and invading one's compound.
If you look at human behavior based on cases like this in the past, they aren't going to come forward.
No.
They are going to sit there and hide behind their shield of how they're interpreting their scripture and right from wrong, and wait until, as you put it, the bell tolls, and then they'll deal with it then. So I think they're concerned probably on the inside, but I also think that they keep themselves fairly isolated. So what is really happening in social media and mainstream media, and I don't think they're keeping track of any of that. And yeah, I don't, anybody comes forward. That's what I see.
That's why I think doing shows like ours, where we're focusing so hard on the human aspect of trying to save lives, trying to save children's lives and women's lives, most importantly, is so important, because there are people that are close enough, that have some connection, that have enough of a connection, maybe enough of trust, that can say, listen, that, remember, they have cell phones. And if you can get a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of leakage to shows like us, where you can say, hey, you don't have to go, I mean, there's so many outlets, you don't have to go directly to law enforcement, which can be scary, which can be alerting, which can bring the brethren down on you, but you can, dude, there's other back channels. We use them all the time in law enforcement. You know, we always use at least one degree of separation when needs be to establish these things. And there's a lot of ways in which to do that for people that are inclined on the inside at any age, that you see something that just doesn't feel right, that makes you feel unsafe, that is just abhorrent. And remember, if you emotionally don't feel like something's right or good, you're most likely right. Do something about it. You can. There's a lot of avenues. And everyone's on, and most importantly, everyone is on your side. That's the most important thing to remember. Yeah. Everyone is on your side.
It's a turning point, and people are going to have to make decisions. And you're right, Jen. I think most are probably going to make the wrong one, or they're going to sit there and they're going to lock down and wait for the bell to toll. But if anyone out there that's hearing this, you have an option right now. And that window will close at some point, and there will be consequences to not speaking up. It's your choice where you want to go with it, I guess. And I guess that's up to them. Fascinating conversation, as always. Your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love to hear them, and we'll continue our conversation right there. Robin's new book, It's Available, It's Not All About Me, available wherever you get books. Go and check that out. Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Please leave a review.
Yes. As always, thank you so much for being here. Break the Case of Jennifer Coffendaffer, available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. Go search it and press subscribe. All right. We'll continue the conversation in the comments section. Until then, for Robin, for Jen, for Todd, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.